Okay, today is the 2nd of August 2019. I am Abdullah Sayed. I am here with
Zakaria Sayed and Akbar Jung.
Who is your
We are
who is your grandfather? Yeah.
We are interviewing Akbar Jung, my grandfather.
Okay. And you are how old?
I am 9 years old. My grandfather is 78 years old. Mm-hmm. My father is 49 years old.
Oh, yeah. Just had a birthday.
Yeah.
Okay, good. All right. So let's get started. You're going to do an interview of your grandfather, your maternal grandfather, your Nana.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Let's start.
So, first of all, the question that everyone will ask in an interview, when were you born?
Ah, 7th of February, 1942. That's the date I was born.
Really, 42? I thought 41.
Okay, 42 it is. Okay, go ahead.
And where is your mother's family from and where is your father's family from?
Oh, that's an interesting question. Normally, you'd say father's family is from there and mother's family is from there. My parents are cousins.
Wow.
Therefore,
they would all have similar DNA, so then...
Quite true. And therefore, I happen to be a part Hyderabadi because my mother and grandmother came from Hyderabad, but my paternal side came from Delhi, so I am a Delhiwala. Now, you decide what are my ancestry.
That's actually a tough question. I'm like...
Well, you were born in Doha.
Yeah.
And, yeah, okay.
Are you an American citizen or are you a Qatari citizen?
I'm an American citizen, but like...
So, you are a Qatari American? Or no, you are an American Indian?
Yeah, and Qatari. Yeah.
Oh, that's you got triple identity.
Yes.
Interesting.
And also a little bit of other stuff here and there, like a little bit of Persian and then a little bit of Chinese and then.
Oh yeah, your parents.
You have been to America, of course. You were not born there, but you have been to America.
Yeah, but in my DNA, there's no America. I'm like, what the heck?
What's your DNA? Come along.
We haven't done the test yet, so it's like...
Only his parents...
They're like, what is a fish with no nose? Nobody knows. just like that.
Whose DNA was done?
My mother's and my father's.
Oh.
So, how was your relationship with your parents? Like, everyone will ask this, obviously, but...
Yeah. Look, I've seen your relationship with your mom. And I've seen the relationship which you have with your dad. Now, this kind of relationships, I don't think we had. Maybe we didn't have the time or it was a different cultural stage. Like you are interacting with your dad every evening, learning and teaching and learning about everything I was noticing. So that kind of an interaction which you have so intimately with your dad, I didn't have that kind of an interaction. But yes, bedtime was the usual time when we had a long chat and while they were going to sleep, my parents, we would also hang around and sit. That was all. So I would say it was a good relationship as time goes, but different from what you have now with your mom and your dad.
Yeah, probably. Mm-hmm. Because also time, it's like, time, like, so basically, like, what happened, like, at the time of Augustus Caesar, everything was really weird. Like, they had public baths, like, what the heck? and now we don't have those things.
That's true, but also...
So it's kind of like... Times changes.
That's absolutely right. Yeah. With generations, people change, and traditions change, and also sometimes even boundaries, I would say, boundaries change.
I heard this one science fact that in about 1,000 years, and people's foreheads will become larger, and eyes, and...
Whoa, that will happen?
Yeah.
Physical changes?
Yeah.
It's likely, because after all,
physical changes,
one day somebody said, we are from monkeys, we have evolved from monkeys.
Yeah.
So we must be evolving even now.
Yeah, just like the Hobbit, which is like a but not what? Species, but like something similar to the humans. It was like a monkey-human hybrid.
But what are the changes that are likely? The brain will become bigger, the skull will become bigger, because we are... Would
people,
that happen?
People will become smarter.
So the brain will grow bigger?
Yeah, exactly. People's IQ will become from 150 to like 2,954.
Gosh, that kind of the skull will explode.
Yeah.
Great.
Okay.
Next.
Do you remember any stories they told you?
Oh, yes. They used to tell me stories. Oh, let me tell you a story. It might interest you. And why I remember, I don't know why. We had, like a father, the gentleman who brought us up. So I remember a story which he used to tell me very often. I don't know why. When I would sit on a potty and I was very young, and he would sit with me. Then he would tell me a story of a prince and of things. And then somewhere down the line it would come that the boy prince was told that either you do susu or you do potty. Now he couldn't do that. He had to do one or the other. So he couldn't do that. So he was in trouble. That was some kind of a story. I don't remember the food details. That kind of stories went on. Yeah.
There used to be a lot of wonderful stories in the past.
Every time we ask you this question, you talk about a different story.
Good. That keeps it interesting.
And the one we asked the first time, that was quite an interesting one. Like all the 67 girls and the 67 toilets.
Oh.
Well, I won't tell you a story now. Something else is striking my mind. We went to a hill station where we had a house, Solan, in the Simla Hills. And when we went, we had taken the house from government possession. So my father, brothers, and a Sikh carpenter, and my Aya, we went there. Now, what we saw was all the houses were locked up, and the windows were not open. So we used to wonder, why are the windows not open? Later, when we made friends with the locals, they said, oh, we were afraid that Muslims have come.
Wow.
And therefore they were afraid. And later they said, but there was another problem. We used to say, the father is so handsome, the children are also fair and tall and all. But the mother is very dark and ugly. They thought our Aya was our mother. So that kind of a thing happened. I'm just recalling that as a story.
That's such an interesting story. Even there was a Sikh carpenter in your companion.
Oh, yes. Dalat Singh. Dalat Singh was an old carpenter who had worked for my father. So we took him to make the house, put it in order here and there. But there's another aspect of Dalat Singh. Dalat Singh used to come to our house in Delhi and always ask my father for the same medicine that does him wonders, which he has brought from England. So my father used to give him some tablets. You know what those tablets were? Ordinary soda mint. So Dalat Singh used to be very happy, used to take soda mint. Soda mint was a sort of an antacid. But he imagined that he was getting something which is curing his So this is what they call a placebo. You know what's a placebo?
No.
Dad will explain what's a placebo.
Basically, it's a pill that, even though it doesn't have any actual pharmaceutical benefit scientifically, but still people get cured. It can be just a sugar pill, and still people will get cured.
Oh, I know why. If it's like a mental sickness or a mental illness.
Yeah, the brain has amazing powers.
Then the sugar makes the taste and makes them happy again.
True, and mental.
And makes them normal.
The brain has amazing powers to heal.
There could be another way of putting it. The body has a system of curing itself. The body looks after itself. So if you give somebody a placebo that is not a medicine, he imagines that he's getting the medicine, and soon the body puts him all right. So he thinks the placebo worked. But well, it didn't, because it was just nothing but a sugar pill.
Interesting.
Well, I would like to know more about the house at another time. Okay, let's. Do you have?
How was life in the 40s and 50s?
40s and 50s is not fair for me to answer the 40s, because 40s was a time when I was too young.
And World War II was going on.
War was going on and all that. But in the 50s, that was a time when I was growing up. And I enjoyed seeing a lot of movies, because where we lived, 4 cinema halls were there.
You told me that. Yeah.
In Connaught Place, we visited the museum.
Yes.
That was close to it.
Yes, you went and visited the museum, Madame Tussauds, remember?
Yeah.
And took all those pictures with the film actors
and
all that.
And I took a picture of Justin Bieber, interestingly, but I didn't know I did that.
Interestingly, on that very premises, which you went, it was in a Regal building in Connaught Place. In that very premises, we had a restaurant called Devico's. Devico's was run by my father. And opposite to that, opposite meaning on that same floor, we had a flat, 45 Regal building. And we lived in 45 Regal building for a long time, between 1947 and 1957. 10, 11 years we lived there in that flat. Because we didn't have our own house, which was in Daryaganj, that had been occupied.
And you were fighting back for the property.
Got it at last in 57. We also got our house in the hills in Solan. We also got some property in Chandni Chowk and other places. All the property came back to us in 57.
The Daryaganj property was bought by your father, or it was from previous generations?
Actually, let me tell you, this will also be telling you about my family. You know that in Delhi there is something called the Red Fort. Mm-hmm. That is where the emperor, Mughal emperors had the fort. Now, our house was cheek by jowl to the rampart wall.
Wow.
The wall of the Red Fort. Today, if you go there, from 150 yards from the rampart wall, everything was razed to the ground by the British when they came and conquered in 1857. And our house was there. So we naturally left. We fled from Delhi and my great-grandfather. But when they came back, then they took land about a kilometer from the fort next to the walled city. Delhi was a walled city. So next to the walled city, in the, one of the gates, Delhi Gate. There were so many gates of the walled city. Turkman Gate, Ajmeri Gate, Lahori Gate. So
I think I've seen the Delhi Gate, right?
Delhi Gate.
We pass by it every time we go to...
Yeah, Delhi Gate, we took that land there. And people said, oh, where have you gone? So far away.
Wow.
Because after the wall, there was nothing but the sewage and paramilitary forces and so on. Why have you gone there? But now that land has become center of the city and a very busy street. So we had a house there in a place called Daryaganj. Darya means river, Perhaps a river was next to us at that point of time.
How old would your father have been when that land would have, and was the house built right away?
My father would not have been born. In fact, my great-grandfather took that house, and it was a longish spell, and the road also went along with that spell from Delegate to towards the Red Fort. And my father, grandfather, he must have been born earlier, but he was there. And my father was actually, in fact, now I tell you, my father was born in Hyderabad. Yes, because his mother was a Hyderabadi. And you know that there is a tradition that when some lady becomes pregnant, she goes back to her family's house and gives birth there. So my father was actually born in Hyderabad. But it was a Delhi family. And this place in Daryaganj was our ancestral house, where it is still there.
How long has it been there for?
How long has it been there?
Yeah.
Oh, since 1880s to now?
Wow.
Yeah.
But the house as it is now, does it have some old parts? Oh, it has seen
three generations? No, no. What's the right word? Three developments. First, it was a house where there was also, it was called a devri. It was called a haveli. And in that haveli, there used to be a tehkhana, meaning a basement, large basement called tehkhana. All that was a traditional thing. And later, when that house was to be demolished, the tehkhana was not workable. So everybody was afraid to go inside because it was dark, it was not used. And people said, well, a python lives there, a ghost lives there. Anyway, that was demolished. And
the cats are coming here to interrupt this. No, okay.
And a version of what presently or was Hamid Manzil came up. That Hamid was my grandfather's name. So it was called Hamid Manzil. And that Hamid Manzil was also demolished in 1973. And the present structure came up in 1973. It was rebuilt. And part of it was sold to the nearby cinema, Golcha Cinema. Part of it, my uncle's house came up, called Park Mansion. But the old
house... It was a mansion.
Park Mansion. That was the name of the building.
Oh.
But interestingly... That very place. In fact, let me tell you, in this house, my mother got married in 1938. And she lived in that house till 3 years back. How many years? She came at the age of 16, I think, and died at the age of 93. Lived in that house for that during that period.
Wow.
Part of that period she was in Regal Building when it was not with us. But 1938 to 3 years back, 93. Who has lived so long in one premises? My mother.
Next time when we go to Delhi, we should do a StoryCorps interview of just the house.
Yeah.
That would be interesting.
Well, that would be very interesting in the sense that that house was very important in those days. Before the partition, Muhammad Ali Jinnah used to come there. Asif Ali, Aruna Asif Ali. I think Gandhiji may have also visited, I'm not very sure. But Jawaharlal certainly did. Maulana Azad certainly did. All these people who were prominent people, apart from business people and judges, they used to come to that house. That was before partition. And those were the time when my father was rather considered a big businessman. So that also was there. But he also took part in the national movement. You know what was the national movement?
No.
We were under the British. India was the colony of the British.
Yeah.
The best colony. The British Empire, where the sun did not set. the sun did not set on the British Empire. It was so vast. It was the biggest empire of its time. And India was the crown jewel of the British Empire. Yes. So that was the story.
But he participated, and all these prominent people who are very famous people, Jawaharlal Nehru became later the leader of the entire country. He became the prime minister.
And they wanted, because he was a Muslim, they wanted him to go to Pakistan. But he refused to go to Pakistan, and he was busy saving the lives of Muslims who were fleeing to Pakistan. He owned a rail airways called Deccan Airways, using those planes also to fly them. And in fact, part of my mother's jehez was sent to Pakistan, but we never went to Pakistan. You know what's jehez?
No.
Explain, please.
Jehez is a gift given to a person at the time of marriage. It's called, the English word is called dowry, but the gift, of course, it's sunnah, although it is given by the from the husband to the wife, and this was what was given, some land or some property was given in Pakistan to her, but she never went there and took it.
No, her personal properties was sent, like jewelry and furniture or something, thinking that maybe she will also be going to Pakistan. Lot of her personal effects, like shawls and things of that kind, expensive things were sent. But we never went to Pakistan. He continued to be in Delhi.
There might be pictures of these people visiting the house. You might have them in the Darya Ganj.
Those days, photography was not the in thing. You know, with these days, you find everywhere photographs. But my brother, Zafar Jung, he often puts pictures of himself with Jawaharlal Nehru or with these people. He likes to put it for his profile pictures. Those are there.
On social medias.
But I can tell you about interesting thing about my mother that comes to my mind. You know, she had a restaurant of her own called Piccadilly in Connaught Place. And when the cricket match used to take place at Kotla Firozshah, and an Australian team, for instance, was playing in the versus the Indian team, the food was coming from Piccadilly. So one day she was sitting watching the cricket match along with Don Bradman. Don Bradman, we will tell you about who Don Bradman was, but Don Bradman remarked, "Oh, I am, my hostess is a very pretty hostess." That is the word he used for my mother. Mm-hmm. Now, who was Don Bradman? He was the world classical batsman. He is a batsman whose average was just short of 100.
Wow.
He was short. These days, he's top batsman, you know. They make averages 46, 47, 48 or something like that. Don Bradman's average was 99.
Wow.
And he missed that one to get his average of 100 runs. He's a famous batsman from Australia.
Wow.
So
your family history is very rich of famous people, aristocrats, famous politicians, noblemen. So, mashallah. Next time we should do a interview just on the family history of the famous people and the influence they had on the history of the city.
Yeah.
Okay.
What are your three brothers like? What are your three brothers like?
Varied things. They're interesting in their own ways. They're different. We are all different. My elder brother, he's presently living in his daughters in America. He stays with them for 6 months, and he's in India for in Delhi for 6 months. We are retired now. He's retired, I'm retired, and all three of us, the elder three, are in the late 70s or nearing 80. But the youngest was younger and 10 years old. He is also in Delhi, he had become the lieutenant governor of Delhi. He was in the Indian Administrative Service, had gone to the Asian Development Bank, had taught in Oxford and taught in Delhi. That kind of a life he had, more interesting, more varied. But we as civil servants had our own life and our own interests, reading or... my elder brother was very fond of sports, Mr. Farooq Jung.
Yeah, I think I knew that.
Okay, it would be interesting to do a family history of just each brother by himself.
Yeah.
That would be amazing. They've all done some amazing things in their careers. They're all very interesting people. Next time we go to India, we have lots of interviews to do.
Inshallah.
Yeah, your youngest brother is now a news reporter. He's quite famous now.
Not the youngest. The journalist, not the youngest brother is not a journalist. The brother who is after Nana is a journalist.
The news reporter?
He's a journalist, yeah.
How come you left school at fifth grade and just got all your education from the library?
That's because, 47, we didn't have our property and... my father's business collapsed. So there were hard times, difficult times. So you can imagine it was difficult to pay fees of a school, a fancy school. So we withdrew from the school and I had access to a lot of libraries nearby my house. So I read there and gradually did some private correspondence and education and went to college. I later went to college, went to Aligarh University, where my great-grandfather was one of the founders. In fact, in the Aligarh University, first it was called Mayo College, Muslim College, and the foundation stone, or not foundation stone, the foundation ceremony was held in Sami Manzil. My great-grandfather's name was Samiullah Khan, so his house was called Sami Manzil. So before it became a university, the foundation stone was taken, was put, I again use the word foundation stone. It was after namaz that people met there at Sami Manzil and gave birth to the MAO College, which later became Aligarh University. So along with Sir Syed, my great-grandfather had a great influence in establishment the college.
That's all right. What were your parents and grandparents like?
Who?
What were your parents and grandparents like?
My grandmother, I would like to... forget about my grandfather. My grandfather had come back from Cambridge and became a judge in Hyderabad because he was the son-in-law of Sarvarul Mulk. So he retired as Chief Justice of Hyderabad High Court and came back to Delhi. But my grandmother was a very interesting lady. Yes.
Mm.
She had a very strong will. For instance, I'll tell you. She wanted her husband to be knighted. Mm-hmm. Knighted means to be honored by the British Queen as a knight. So she was very anxious. So she would go to the Nizam. She was a favorite of the Nizam. She would go to the Nizam and say, my husband is the High Court Chief Justice. Why don't you get him a knighthood? It was beyond the Nizam to get a knighthood. So the Nizam used to just put her off. But one day, Nizam, I suppose, must have got tired. So Nizam gave a title, Khitab, to my grandfather. Sir Bulan Jung. The sir was used to indicate a knight.
Oh.
So she was very happy with her husband being called Sir Bulanjang.
That's quite a play on words.
And when she went to UK,
that's like a tongue twister.
When she went to London, there was another interesting incident I can tell you about her. She went to meet the Queen, Queen Mary, along with Begum Mumtazuddaulah. Now, Begum Mumtazuddaulah dressed up in a little bit of a Western style. My grandmother went in her own Indian style. So the Queen kept talking to my grandmother and would not talk to Begum Mumtazuddaulah. So my grandmother used to tell me, soon the Queen turned to her asked, soon my grandmother told the Queen, Your Highness, she is a Mumtazuddaulah. She is also a noble lady from Hyderabad. So the Queen said, I thought she was your governess. So she would like to repeat this story often, because when she was very old, she used to keep repeating her old tales. Like,
that's so interesting.
Did you have any favorite jokes you and your family used to tell?
Favorite jokes? I can't recall. How do you mean favorite joke?
Jokes you and your family used to tell and that you all really loved.
Or a funny story, maybe?
Yeah.
I told you about my servant, I think, once. A servant in the family, Nathaniel.
Yeah.
And his stories used to be quite a lot for us. And
he used to always know when the movies were, and he was like, oh, this came out on something 1942.
You ask him the movie, what date did it come? She would tell you the date. He would tell you the date. The date would always be Friday. You can check it up by a calculation. He was an interesting person. There were so many interesting persons around. My father used to collect them. There were a lawyer. There were 2-3 painters. They used to hang around.
Wow.
Yeah.
Which of yours was your favorite pet, and why was he/she your favorite?
Servant.
Pet.
Pet. The first pet was my favorite.
Mickey.
It was a cocker spaniel, and his name was Blue. Though he was burgundy color, his name was Blue. Actually, he was given to us as a pup, so the name came along at that time. He had great dignity about. Each pet has a different character.
Yeah, Mickey was like the naughty kind of one, and then. And how many pets did you have?
Oh, several. But there's another story with pets. I don't know if I should call it a pet.
I know you had a lot. You had like a bear, a deer.
Oh, my father had a bear. I didn't. And my father used to tell us that every 15 days, he used to give the bear a beating.
Yeah.
Why, we asked? Why? He says, if I didn't give him a beating every 15 days, he would start misbehaving. So to keep him in order, the best thing was to give him a beating every 15 days. But I can tell you, I was telling you about an interesting pet we kept. Once we kept a pet a deer. We got a deer and made it into a pet. So we used to take the deer to an enclosed area called Jantar Mantar. It's a garden, well-laid garden, but with totally walled up. So we were about 15, 16 young boys who would take the deer, leave it in the area, and then it would run, and we would all run to catch him. Oh, what a chase it used to be. He gave us such a difficult time to catch him. And if you caught him by the foot...
Well, yeah, deer are quite fast.
His kick was so terrible that it could hurt us. But actually, we managed to catch every day to catch him. But sometimes 2 hours of running around, 15, 16 boys, panting away, running around, tired. But you had to get him back home.
So then why did they just roll to him like how the Teletubbies roll down the mountains?
That was fun while it lasted. But then we were not allowed to keep it for long in Regal Building. People said, what is this? Why are you keeping a deer here?
When did you get married?
I just had, a few days back, my 50th marriage anniversary. And you gave me such a brilliant celebration, and I enjoyed myself so much on that day. So now work it back. Work the date back. Which year did I get married? 50 years back.
1969.
Yes.
Nice. Good one. That was good.
How did you meet your wife?
How did I meet my wife? It was an arranged marriage.
Yeah.
Her nanny decided, my mother decided, and I didn't even see her. So I saw her once, twice, thrice, four times before the marriage, and that was it. You find that interesting, don't you? These arranged marriages used to be like that. So anyway, I had really got to know her a little, but it was totally arranged. Yeah.
How did my mother act like during her childhood?
How's your mother?
How did my mother act like during her childhood?
Act like during her childhood?
Yeah.
You must have seen her pictures. A sweet little girl. Now let me tell you now how she acted.
And one interesting kind of naughty thing she did with you. Every midnight, she and you would go to the kitchen and have a nice cookies and milk midnight snack. And never, ever got caught.
How did you come to know that?
She told me, obviously.
Yes. But you know, I did tell you, I think, once about when she was 4 years old, she went to Birmingham. I went for a training for a year in Birmingham. So she went and joined a nursery called Rubri Nursery. So she used to be a favorite of the principal. And hardly ever sat in her class. And they're sitting...
Oh, yeah, I know that story. She used to always sit in the principal's lap. But then she would only go to class in singing class.
In the singing class. And hated the milk. And first thing she did was... went, hung her coat on the camel hook, and then went straight to the principal's room, trying to sit in her lap.
Oh, so sweet.
What age were you when you were married?
27, I think.
Let me try you. Yeah, probably 27 or 26.
Yeah.
What age did your parents die at?
My father died at the age of 63. It was the year 1973. And my mother died only 3 years back.
Yeah, at the age of 91, am I correct?
93, I think.
Mashallah.
Mashallah.
Did your father have an illness or what happened? Why did he die so early?
Oh... my father had purging, potty purging. And when we investigated further, we found that he had colon cancer. Oh. The colon is the lower part of the rectum. So that was operated. And he lived for 18 months after that. And we lost him after that because of cancer.
I didn't know that. I had no idea.
How old are your three brothers currently?
Old. My elder brother is 2 years older. My younger brother is 2 years younger, approximately.
And then...
And the youngest is 10 years older, younger than me.
Yeah. How old are your... who are your three brothers' children?
Oh, you should ask, how many cousins have you got? Would you be able to work it easily? From your mother's side, from your father's side, from your grandparents' side, I've reached a stage when I'll have to start counting. She has three, another has four, another has two. I have never added them up.
But I think, have you met all of them?
No, I think I met like six of them.
I don't think so.
Some of the ones in America you haven't met yet.
Yeah.
You know, things have changed. World has changed. Earlier days, people lived in the same city and in the same mohalla. You know mohalla? Mohalla is the neighborhood. And you grew up, your friends were from the same mohalla, your parents lived there. If at all your uncles and aunts or relatives lived, they lived in a nearby city in the same country. So it was a small world. But now, somebody is in the US, somebody UK, somebody in Norway, somebody somewhere. And soon people do lose contact also. That closeness is not there. Only when you have some immediate contact that you develop closer relationship. Otherwise, it is WhatsApps and phones. And perhaps you also forget to do that sometimes.
Yeah. Can you talk about your mother's death? What caused her to die?
My mother's, as I told you, she had age. And she was keeping well. And she was an independent lady. She was a very independent lady. After 1973, my father passed away. She ran her own guest house without the help of her sons. She never lived with her son's house. She lived in her own house, the traditional house, where she made a guest house and she had her old servants. And she managed the guest house. Her mind was very clear. She was a poetess. And she had a lot of people visiting her and meeting her. And that kept her busy along with the guest house and the servants and the problems which sometimes come up with her business. But it was only in the last 2-3 years that she found it difficult to move around. In fact, for the last 7-8 years of her life, she did not leave the house. She would not take the steps down, and if she was on the first floor. So, but gradually she became weaker, weaker. And then the day she passed away, she was talking to my younger brother, Najib Jung. And she was very weak by that time. And then she said, Najib, I would like to sleep. And then she went to sleep. And
oh, yeah, I know that's right. She was like in the car or something, and she said she needed to sleep.
And then my brother also sat there for some time. And later he realized, he kept sitting there reading a book or something. Later he realized, and then found that she was not moving. So they called the ambulance and so on. But when the ambulance came, everybody said that she's no more. So she just went to sleep and passed away. And that's what she always used to say. I hope I never give anybody any trouble. So she never gave anybody trouble. She had 7-8 servants with her who used to look after her. Had a nice life.
Okay, so we have more questions.
Just one last question.
We'll have to do another interview because the time has run out. There's only 20 seconds left. So we'll do another interview, inshallah, when Nana visits us next time.
There's only one question left, so.
But there's not enough time. There's only 10 seconds left. So we'll save it for later. And then, inshallah, we'll continue again, maybe in Delhi.
Hopefully. Well, that question, that wasn't that.